always said it's nice to preach in the morning, that way you get to enjoy lunch. So. Appreciate the brethren not telling me I was going to be preached this afternoon until after lunch, so I'm sure I was extending their kindness to us. We are thankful again to be able to gather in God's service.
Amen.
To come together and have fellowship with each other, and that fellowship has been sweet to us. We treasure getting to go around God's kingdom and be reacquainted with brothers and sisters that we've come to know and love, be treated as well as we are in God's house. And that fellowship is wonderful. But what we really come for is fellowship with our elder brother.
Amen.
You know, if he's here, then a little while we'll be able to escape a lot of these things that trouble us. He is able to take these old carnal minds and tuck them away and allow our thoughts to be centered on him, to be taught from his word, to be blessed with his fellowship. We pray that'll be the case this afternoon. I know y'all have had a wonderful meeting yesterday. We've enjoyed good service this morning. We begin with an account of Christ at supper. Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. I think it's verse 10. You know, I don't expect they ate any more in those days than we did. In fact, they probably ate less than we did. But there are just a lot of occasions where we see in the Gospels a lesson being taught at supper. You know, and I think any time that we're able to sit down with the Lord and he breaks some bread for us and has a meal prepared, then there are things there that will feed our soul.
Amen.
Be taught from his word. We'll read a few verses. You know, certainly pray for us. We've learned long ago, and it's manifest from time to time in a very clear way, that if we don't have the Spirit of the Lord, then I hope we'll recognize that quickly and get our Brother Don's way. That'll be our goal. But we know that without the encouragement, the inspiration, the strength, the power of the Holy Ghost, we'll not be able to do anything to be good for you to listen to this afternoon. And that'd be hard enough in the morning, much harder, I'm sure, after lunch. Verse 10 says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Well, that's really all that there was to eat with, wasn't it?
That's right.
You know, if you really, really understand it, then if he didn't want to eat alone, he's going to be eating with sinners.
Right.
When Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Now, we understand that he, in this case, wasn't talking about physical illnesses. He was talking about those that felt like that they had no sin. They didn't need him. They need to go find someone else to eat with. But if you were a sinner, if you had a sin-sick soul, realize your condition, then, you know, brothers and sisters, he's a good one to dine with.
Amen.
You feel that way.
Right, that's right.
Because he's got some things that'll take care of what bothers you.
That's right.
But he said to those Pharisees, he says, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth." Well, I'm glad I don't need that lesson, right? Brothers and sisters. Well, that's to us. You know, if you think he was just talking to the Pharisees there, then you need to go back and start at the beginning.
Right.
"Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the God of heaven speaking here.
Amen.
This is one who had no sin. Never, ever. God in the flesh. Come down to this sin-cursed world to do what? To treat sinners. To call sinners to repentance. You know why? To myself, I'll not even preach to y'all this afternoon. I'll just preach to me for a while. If it happens to fit for you too, then we'll be in the same boat together. Shoes fit for me. I don't know about you. You know, some things we need to learn. Go ye and learn what that means. Now, you know, learning is an interesting process. It takes knowledge. This book is full of knowledge. You want to get some knowledge, brothers and sisters, that would be good for you around how, you know, this, we kind of left with the thought about fulfilling the law of Christ in our treatment and our service to our brothers, bearing ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of God. So there's a lesson for us here to learn. You know, you need to start with some knowledge, and my crew back in Tuscaloosa, they get so tired of hearing me tell them about reading the Bible. They hear it all the time. Brothers and sisters, this is God's word to us. This is knowledge in this book. Knowledge is a wonderful thing. You got to start with knowledge. Pray that the Lord, through the Spirit, will give you understanding. What am I to do with this knowledge? Let me really understand. You want to go learn what he means here. And we want to get to that in a minute. If you have knowledge and you say, I know this, what God's Word tells me, and the Spirit gives me understanding about it. You know, we're taught to be able to rightly divide. We understand, and Brother Joe mentioned it, I'm convinced as convinced can be that, you know, no man's just going to sit down and figure this all out with human nature. You're not going to reason it out that way. Come, let us reason together, which is exactly what he was saying about not disputing and arguing with people about the Scriptures. If you can sit down and reason, that's a good thing. The Spirit gives us understanding, but you still haven't got learning yet. You know, if you go to get your car repaired, especially if it's something complicated, which it pretty much all is these days, and you ask the mechanic, so have you ever done this before? I said, no, but I went to school and I read the book. You're probably going to look for another mechanic because there's probably some learning has not acquired through experience.
Right.
I can tell you, brothers and sisters, what he's talking about right here, about those that be whole need not a physician, but those that be sick. Yeah. Go ye and learn what that means. You go learn what that means. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. You're not going to learn that unless you do that, brothers and sisters. There's some learning that only comes through experience.
Right, man.
And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, if we find ourselves in that position where we got put on the robes of the Pharisees, and we happen to have a little one of God's children in our congregation or somebody that's coming up to the church, and, you know, if we want to sit there and, now, I'm not saying that you don't need to understand some things about their life. That's not what I'm saying. But brothers and sisters, when we see one of God's children that is seeking a physician,
someone
that's trying to get better from those things that ail them, are we going to show them mercy? Are we going to demand sacrifice? What position do we rightfully see? This is Jesus Christ. If there was anybody that was in a position to say sacrifice, it'd be him.
Right.
And what did he say? I'll have mercy. Amen. You know, don't we love to get mercy?
Amen.
Don't you love it when somebody's kind and merciful to you?
Amen.
Don't you, when you consider the sure mercies of David? And there's a good example right there. We're probably not going to go any further with him. But I can tell you right now, if you've experienced the sweetness of God's mercy to you, if you've considered and understood what you are by nature, and you see what this one did for you on Calvary's cross, that he didn't just come to put a band-aid upon your sin, brothers and sisters, but he came to take care of that, to heal you of that. And one day, you know, these little bodies are going to be without sin. Isn't that a glorious thought? My sin, oh the bliss of that glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thought. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. You know, we read over in Luke chapter 15. Amazing. Another very similar circumstance, isn't it? Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. You know, this man, Jesus Christ, he was just a magnet for sinners, wasn't he? There's just something about this man that just drew sinners to him.
Amen.
Glorious, what are we here? Are we not drawn to him this afternoon?
Yeah.
You know, I want to sit at his feet, brothers. I want to hear him talk about the things that he's done. I want to hear him the sweet words that come from his gospel that teach me that this sin-sick sinner that I am, a fallen man, somehow warranted one kindness, 1,000 kindness, 1,000,000 kindness, put a number on it, the gift of his only begotten son. You know, I want to sit next to that one. I want to hear what he has to say. I want to try to follow in his steps. I want to try to do the things that he has given us as example. Then drew near him to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." I guess he's just not paying much attention to them, is he? He spake this parable and then saying, you know, familiar with this, there's nothing new here. It says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" He didn't come for the righteous, those that feel that they've got it all they need. They don't really need him because they're okay. He came to call sinners to repentance. Now, that's an important word there.
Right.
You know what we see, I believe, what the Bible teaches us. You know, there's a sequence. There's sin. There's forgiveness. Yep, that's right. Now, you might want to think, well, no, I don't have... Forgiveness comes after repentance. No, brothers.
That's right.
The Bible didn't place a requirement. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I'll forgive you once you apologize to me.
Right.
That's not the way we're taught.
Amen.
There's sin and there's forgiveness, brothers and sisters.
Right.
And if you don't, you need to be... God's Word teaches us to remind ourselves of that every day. Lord, you forgive me my trespasses. As what? As I forgive those that trespass against
right.
me. And that's a daily thing. Why do we need that? Because that old carnal man, he wants to slip on, you know, those robes, that Pharisee. They feel good, don't they?
Yeah.
And I tell you what, they got size for every one of us.
That's right.
Yeah, so this is one size, it fits all. And I tell you what, you like to get all those old standing in front of the mirror and think, well, I'm a pretty good fella. I've forgotten what manner of man I am.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, and it says when he found this one sheep. You know, what does the parable teach us? Once he found that one that was lost, what did he first do? Did he berate him for leaving? Did he tell him, well, you just find your way back on your own? You know, well, that's easy. In my days, I've seen that. I've seen that as the first prescription for a sinner that is sick and got sick on some of the sin of this world. First thing is, well, you go heal yourself. When you get healed, then you come back. Do you go and with a stick and beat them back to the flock? Is that what he did? Did he drag them?
No.
What's it say right there? Laid him on his shoulders and carried him back.
Amen.
You go learn what that means. Because I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you've ever been carried back, and then you have the opportunity to help one of God's children.
Amen.
Talk about something. It calls you to just to lift up the hand and praise God
Amen.
For His goodness to you.
That's right.
You want to enjoy mercy, then be merciful.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
It says, when he found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. Yeah. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep, which was lost. What a glorious thing. You know, we experience that when one little God's children. You know, just the joy of that should inspire us to seek it out.
Yes.
Just the joy of that moment, Brother Joe, should cause us to put forth whatever effort we can to help one of those sinners back to repentance.
True.
Sin. You know, if you're going to go and put that sheep on your shoulders and bring it back, you've forgiven that one, right?
Right, yeah.
And the goal is restoration.
Yeah.
You know,
amen.
The Lord has, you know, punishment is not out of anger. Punishment is not to harm.
Right.
Punishment is for what? It's for correction.
Amen.
Right.
You know, when I was a young child, you would have never convinced me that was the purpose of it. And I remember my dad saying, you know, this hurts me worse than it hurts you. And I remember going, boy, you'll never convince me of that. But I can tell you what, it is. When you love one and you're punishing for correction, to bring to restoration. You know, that's the goal, is to restore one.
That's right.
And we even, you know, not that the 99 were left in danger, but just showing the effort and the desire for each one. Each one is precious.
Right.
Amen.
I'm not going to spend any more time on it, but if you read the rest of this 15th chapter, that's the entire lesson for that 15th chapter. There are three more parables that in different ways speak to that exact circumstance. How are we to treat each other? Go learn what it means. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. You know, there's many things that we allow to damage God's church. You know, it's not just one thing. There's many things. Those devil's got a lot of tools, and we got a lot of weaknesses.
Amen.
And he knows how to play to them.
Yeah.
But you know, the answer to every one of his weapons is in this Bible. There's armor. There's things both defensive and offensive for us to counteract the wiles of the devil. We have no excuse. We're taught to treat our brothers and sisters in as the Lord did, right? Just a couple things, and we're going to give way. In Colossians, in the third chapter, and that's a good chapter to read. Brother Joe mentioned that first verse. But if you then be risen with Christ to seek those things which are above. But he goes on and tells us some things that we ought to put off.
Amen.
And some things that we ought to put on. And if it's something that you need to put off, it probably means that's something that you're liable to be wearing. So,
amen.
Let's put that things off, but let's look at what it says, put on. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Oh, brothers and sisters, how much more peace would we have in the church? How much more richness of fellowship with each other and the Lord? How many more of God's children would liable to be members of our churches
right.
if we practice this? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. How many times? Well, 490, right? No. Peter asked him, how many times must I forgive my brother? Seven times? You know, Peter was seeking refuge over there in the law, wasn't he?
Yeah.
God said, no, seven times 70. And he didn't mean, you know, a lot of times I've heard people say, all right, you're up to three now. You got 487 yet left to go. And, you know, that's not what he's talking about.
Right.
Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, there's the benchmark.
Yep.
You want to know? Want to know? There it is. It's pretty plain.
Amen.
Like we were talking about at lunch. You know, some things are simple. That doesn't mean they're easy. Mm-hmm. This is not complicated. Doesn't mean that it's easy because we're fighting this whole battle of low human nature.
Yeah, right.
forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In Ephesians, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It must be important. You know, there's a lot about forgiveness in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Sin, forgiveness. Pray for repentance. Godly sorrow. Fruits meet for repentance. If you've got that, brothers and sisters, what's the last thing? Restoration.
Amen.
And if you won't restore someone that has repented, then I'll say you hadn't forgiven them.
Right.
There's something that's missing there.
That's right.
You know, the Bible talks about, you want to, I'll use my words, you want to prevent one that comes as a little child, and you might have a lesson about age there, but he's just called to come as one, like that old, that lady that was a sinner that came up to him while he was doing what? He was at supper again, right? He was at supper with one of the Pharisees, and this woman who was a great sinner in the city came up to him, right? She anointed his head with oil.
Yeah.
Notice that she had an alabaster box. I've always been intrigued by that. You know, alabaster is a very common material. Just in nature, there's nothing special about alabaster. But when you take it and you turn it into a vessel, in this case, it was an alabaster box filled with ointment, something for anointment and for praise. You know, these old vessels of clay that we are, in and of themselves in nature, there's really not anything attractive to them. But when the old Holy Spirit works on them and they turn it into a vessel of mercy, and it becomes a receptacle of praise to the Lord, as this one that came knowing she was a sinner and appropriately came up and anointed him with those oils, washed his feet with her tears, wiped them with her glory, her hair.
That's right.
You know, sometimes you come in and you just smell the ointment, can't you? You come to a meeting, and I'm not talking about the perfume.
Right.
I'm talking about the praises, the thankfulness, the gratitude, the zeal, the desire to serve and to worship the Lord and Savior that died for us. When you come into a meeting and you can just feel it, brothers and sisters, just like, you smell that ointment coming out of all these little alabaster boxes, that they're precious because they've been prepared as the vessels to praise and to serve Him.
Amen.
We're going to finish where we kind of ended before in 6th chapter of Galatians. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Some wonderful teachings for all of us. Begins there, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, what are we to do? It tells us. We got information. I think we have understanding. But brothers and sisters, you want to learn? You got to go do. When Jesus washed their feet, He says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The joy, the happiness, the wisdom comes from the experience of applying the knowledge and understanding that we have. So he goes on here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now,
yeah.
Well, there's a lot right there. That doesn't mean everybody. If it just been anybody, they wouldn't have put that in there. Ye that are spiritual, what are you supposed to do? Restore. Restore such a one in how? The spirit of meekness.
Amen.
You know, if we're going to fall after the footsteps of the Lord, this is the one that spoke the world into existence.
That's
I'm
right.
talking about, you're talking about mighty to save.
Yes.
You talk about power, Amen. Brothers and sisters. You're talking about God in the flesh. You talk about the one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God the Father. The one that bore the sins of His people on that cross at Calvary and suffered and made full payment. The one that has power not just to lay His body down, but to raise it up again as He has done. The one who is seated on the right hand of the Father and knows everything that you face, brothers and sisters. He knows your trials. You know, and if you'll just do like old Stephen, if you'll look up, you'll see Him. And keep your eyes on Him. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then that's where he says, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And these burdens are interesting things. You know, there's a little further down, it says, every man bears his own burden. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Well, do a little divide. You know, there's a burden that only you can bear. That's your service to God. No one else can serve the Lord for Him. They can't worship Him for you. They can't follow Him for you. They can't be obedient to Him for you. Those are things for you to do.
Amen.
But we can help bear one another's burden.
Right.
Being mindful that Jesus bore the burdens that none of us could bear. The burdens of our sins on the cross. Go ye learn what that means. I'll have mercy, not sacrifice. God bless you, my prayers.
Amen.
There were not yet nine.